You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Well, I don't see the point in waiting any longer, so let's bring her out. The star attraction, the one you came to see. Ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Ms. Judy Gold.
Are you working during the day and
at
doing stand-up
no.
at night?
At this point, I got fired from Good Morning America. They were very nice about it. They said, get out. And I said, listen, I'm a single mother. I have nothing. I have no husband. I just had a near-death experience. I need the job.
What was your near-death?
Oh, I had an ectopic pregnancy where I almost died.
Oh, that's right.
And so they fired me anyway. They fired
so
me anyway.
Nice.
And I went on unemployment insurance, which is one of the great things of this country.
Oh.
And it saved my life, unemployment insurance.
Oh, so that's an example of...
Of good government.
Right. So you start doing stand-up. Eve is how old?
12. She's 12.
Is she like, mommy, don't do stand-up?
No. She never paid any attention to my career whatsoever. She has zero interest in it.
And did she care that you were out at night or?
Well, I'd have her, my mother would come over and wait, help her. But I would do stand-up all over as much as I could. I had Ruth Stern booking me.
I was just going to talk about
her. God bless her, because I would never go on the road because I was raising a kid.
Yeah.
And she would get me gigs in every Jewish country club in
every
the tri-state
country club.
Area.
And this is the Ruth Stern story, everyone. She's a legend. Every time you called her and she would say, I got a gig for you. It's at the Braeburn Country Club. And she'd be, $1,000. And I'm like, oh, well, because that wasn't a lot of money for doing those.
That was a lot for me.
I'm just making it up. Right. So she'd say $500 or $200. And I'd be like, $200, that's nothing. And she'd say, well, I called them up. I called Braeburn. I said, Judy Gold. They said, who?
So that's what happened.
Yeah, she used to that, and she used to have to drive her. She would eat with the food spitting out of her mouth.
Well,
she got me into the Friars Club, though.
Yeah, she was good in certain ways.
Yeah.
I appreciated her because even though
I
she was
too.
One of the most annoying people,
and her husband,
she'd have a bad meal like that didn't say so. She'd go, "Here, Paul, you eat this."
Paul, oh my God, he didn't say a fucking word.
No, when she died, he fell apart.
Yeah, so you're pretty successful. Doing
well,
stand-up.
I was doing that, and I was making some money.
Yeah,
I was...
but you, because I ended up having to go on the fucking road. I hated it so much.
Yeah.
But I wanted to get like a half an hour on stage or
right.
So. But you, Mario, and Susie never really had to go suffer in these condos.
No, we didn't
did
do it.
Yeah.
Well, we didn't do it because we appealed to this country club
right.
crowd.
Right.
And I could do those gigs. I don't know why you didn't.
Well, I don't know why I didn't do a lot of things, because look at me. Okay.
No, I don't understand why you wouldn't appeal to a Jewish audience at these country clubs.
I don't know. I did, but you guys were getting all the gigs, and I...
Well, there was plenty of work in those days for that. She didn't like you, I don't think. Ruth.
Really?
She probably didn't. She probably thought you weren't appropriate for her room. That's what that was about.
What did I do that was wrong? I talked about my mother.
I don't know. I have no idea what the reason
Fuck
is.
Fuck you, Ruth. But then
she's
I
dead.
Ended up. Yeah, I ended
she's
up.
Dead. All I'm saying is that if you worked in her room, she booked you. If she thought that you would not work, that was it for you.
Wow.
She gave some jobs to Corey Kahaney, I think. Yeah.
So, I was loud.
This bell is the most annoying. I've never done a podcast more annoying than this.
I'll stop. You end up at Catch, then you get a show on Lifetime called Way Off Broadway.
Yes, it went one season, and it was a great show.
Yeah.
Wait a second, Larry David was one of my writers, okay? Larry
wow.
David, okay, yes. He used to come to my apartment every night, and we'd work out a stand-up set.
OMG.
Yeah.
And that was
1987.
And that was, now, was that your big break, your first big break?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get a show live from Queens.
Oh, that wasn't my show. That but was you Sissy were, Biggers.
Yeah, and you were one of the regulars.
I would come in once in a while. But she never let me talk, Sissy Biggers. She would keep up, she was like Kellyanne Conway, never a period did she meet.
Right.
And then my shrink, I went to the shrink and I said, I don't know what to do. She said, interrupt her. Oh, I said, a light went off.
I need this shrink.
So I interrupted her, and later she thanked me. She said she didn't. The reason the girl didn't stop talking is because she wasn't sure I would pick it up.
See?
Yeah, so
you
learned
something.
That's
what happens when you don't communicate.
That's right. But she was nice enough to have me on a lot. She's a nice girl. Right. And then that was over, and then I did some other show, a couple of other things.
You did, you know, you did a one-night stand on HBO.
Oh, yeah.
You did Women of the Night on HBO. You were a regular on NBC's Baby Boom.
Yes, I played a German nanny.
Right.
And no one, but my father, you know what I looked like? I looked just like the shrink I was saying. Had braids around my head, no makeup, and a white uniform. So my father...
Your shrink didn't wear a uniform.
No, but okay. As the nanny. So my father goes to his club, the Bugs AC. That was the name of the club, the Bugs AC. He goes to the Bugs AC to watch me because they had a TV he liked. He comes home and he says to my mother, she wasn't in it because he didn't even recognize me. The man didn't even recognize my voice. My father did not recognize my voice.
Are you kidding?
Women at Lomans are recognizing my voice, but not my father.
Ridiculous. Okay, so then do you get the WABC job right after that?
Oh, the radio show?
The talk show.
I got the radio show, I believe, in 90 or 91. I did pilots, a couple of pilots in between. That didn't go anywhere. I got the radio
show. But you were hot. You were, everyone knew you. Everyone knew you in New York.
Barbara Streisand. Barbara Walters didn't know me.
Right. I wanted to get to the story.
But people in New York knew me from the radio show. You know, I could sell out rooms when I was on a radio show. Easier than when I was on television.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, people just wanted to see what I looked like, I think.
And you were so funny. I called and you yelled at me, though.
I did? Why?
Yeah, you're like, what's your point? And I'm like, okay, sorry.
What, did you identify yourself?
Yeah, I said, hi, it's Judy. Hi, Judy. You were in some mood. And I said,
I still had my period.
Yeah, and you said, I don't understand your point. Bye.
No, I did not.
You did something. And I was like, crushed.
I can't believe that you were upset.
Oh my God, I'm so sensitive.
Oh, Jesus.
Yes. Oh, I'm.
Shall I tell them a story you did to me?
Oh, this is the worst. But I was so young. Okay.
So her father dies.
I'm 27.
She's 27.
Sitting at the bar.
In the bar couch, and she says to me, I'm so young and you're so old.
No, I didn't.
Yes, you did. And you said, why does my father have to die? And yours didn't. I said, well, he will soon.
I didn't say it like that.
You did. I'm so young and you're so old. How come my father's
dead?
She said that to me.
I was in mourning probably.
Okay, fine. Well,
I'm sorry.
I yelled at you on the radio.
I'm sorry.
I had my
period
that day.
I'm sorry.
All right. You're welcome.
I'm forgiven or welcome?
You're forgiven. Okay. I forgave you that day.
I remember because I couldn't believe. Because I was at the point where I was like, wait, all of my friends have their parents. You know, I mean, 27 young. Is young, but it's not like, you know, 13.
No, it's still young to lose a parent.
Right. And and it was like that. And
and you liked your father.
I loved
Did you
my
like
father.
Him better than you liked your mother? Truth.
You know, I can't, probably, but I can't, father, but I can't, don't remember so much. I didn't really get to, I wasn't fully developed.
Yeah.
And I realized all these things I would love. And all my cousins are going through pictures and they always send me these photos. And in every family photo, I'm sitting with my father. I'm next to my father.
Yeah.
And I just realized, I think I blocked a lot.
Was he taller than you?
He was 6'2". And then I don't know. I think I was a little taller than
him. I give advice to people who are listening who are younger. Always ask your parents questions. Because after they're dead, you want to ask the questions. Nobody there to answer.
Yeah, I did that with my mother in the nursing home.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions to ask.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're on the radio.
Yeah.
I am mad that my father's dead.
Yeah. yeah.
I have one that you said to me after I had Ben.
What did I say?
You don't remember, everyone was saying this because, you know, Henry's adopted. My ex Sharon had Henry.
Right.
I adopted him.
Right.
I had Ben.
Right.
And we came over. We came over some, you know.
To my house.
Yes.
Oh, you were fighting with Sharon.
What?
Yeah,
so
constantly.
We never, constant.
Oh,
it was
my
awful.
God. They came to my house. They did not stop fighting with each other.
I couldn't take it.
I told you to stop it.
Yeah, you said get, yeah. You
what
have
did
to
I say?
Stop. You said, you said you have to stop fighting. But, so anyway, we break up.
What else did I say? It sounds like I said something worse.
Yeah, you were, this is not unacceptable.
This is unacceptable
yes.
in my house.
And so, and then after Ben
remember
was
when,
born,
when Rosie O'Donnell came to my house for dinner and you were there with Mario and Susie?
Mm-hmm.
She brought her own beer.
Oh,
remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I, I remember after Ben, I brought Ben over and you said, all right. Which one do you love better? Love more. And I said, I love them exactly the same. And you're like, come on, Judy. I said, no, I do. And you said, all right, they're both drowning. Who do you save?
Oh, my God. Sophie's choice.
And I said, well, Henry knows how to swim. So
that's how you got out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you love them both.
I do. I love them.
They're lovely children.
Oh, thank you, Joy. That means a lot.
Very nice.
I'm going to cry. So you do.
No, you did a good job. You had a really had, you know, it's not easy to be a single parent and to be a comedian at the same time. And they're not crazy like you. They have like a sanity about them, which is unbelievable.
Henry's a little, they're good. So yeah, it's hard being a comedian.
And
that's how you make
parent.
Your fucking living.
It's
and
hard.
A single parent, two kids in school. Like you can't go on the. All right.
I was told by my daughter, do not talk about me in your act.
Oh, I did too.
And I never did.
I do. And then Henry.
I listen to my children. Do you listen to your children?
Well, no, he didn't say that until Sharon said it.
What did she say?
But you told me, I went to you and she, cause you would talk about being divorced and this and that. And I said, Sharon wants to put in our like papers that I can't talk. And you're like, you're a comedian.
Right.
But then
don't be put in the papers. No, change the name. You call her Schwendy.
Yeah. Schwendy.
So is she going to do? She can't sue you.
And then Henry would get mad at me and he picked up on her and be like, you're not allowed to talk in my act. I said, all right. But I said, he's like, use a different name. I said, what name? He said, Jerome. And then I do a whole bit
about
that
Jerome.
Night that, my son Henry, my Jerome, and I was in Provincetown, and he meets me after the show.
He saw the show?
No, he meets me afterwards to go get ice cream, and everyone walking down the street was like, oh, is that Jerome? Oh. And he was so fucking mad at me.
So you can't do that to kids.
I know.
Hey, everyone. I love our sponsor, Fast Growing Trees. I don't know if you've noticed when we show the clips of the podcast that I have a new best friend in my office named Avi. And where did I get Avi? At Fast Growing Trees. Fast Growing Trees is the biggest online nursery in the United States with more than 10,000 different kinds of plants and over 2 million happy customers in the United States of America. And I am a happy customer. I love walking in this room and seeing my fig tree, Avi. I talk to Avi. I love it. It makes me happy. And you need plant life in your house. And I have another plant on my piano in the other room. I'm just telling you, it makes your home so much more of a home. So thank you to Fast Growing Trees. They have everything you could possibly want. They have fruit trees. They have palm trees. They have evergreens. They have houseplants and so much more. And I'm in an apartment in New York. Okay? I don't even have a yard outside. And it's changed my life. Do it. Go to Fast Growing Trees. And whatever you're interested in, they have it. They have the perfect fit for your climate, for your space. You can call them and ask them how to take care of your plants. They have so much information and it's so easy to order online. Your plants are shipped directly to your door in 1 to 2 days. They have a 30-day alive and thrive guarantee. They have free plant consultation forever. And I have a new best friend, Avi. I love you, Avi. So do it. You don't need a yard. You don't need a lot of space. You just need to make your home a beautiful place. And that's where Fast Growing Trees comes in. This spring, Fast Growing Trees has the best deals online, up to half off on select plants and other deals. And listeners to our show get an additional 15% off their first purchase when using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's an additional 15% off at fastgrowingtrees.com using the code JUDYGOLD at checkout. fastgrowingtrees.com, code JUDYGOLD. Offer is valid for a limited time. Terms and conditions may apply. do it. You're welcome.
You did a benefit. You did a benefit and Barbara Walters was there? Is that what happened?
Well, you know, in those days, you had to be seen.
Right.
And you hope that somebody...
No videotaping.
So I would never... Alan Alda once told me that one of the mistakes I made, not Jewish...
But his wife is and his kids are. Okay. Go ahead.
Boy, you're really stretching now. how about people who just think they're Jewish?
Right.
He said to me... I told him that I never would, like, I'd have a set coming up, and I'd never invite important people to come because I never thought it would be good enough. And that was a huge mistake I made because I would always kill those nights. And then afterward, I'd say, what a fool I am. Right. I should have had, you know, the Brillstein here that night and what have you. Right. So what would happen is instead I'd be asked to do benefits. So then I didn't have to worry because important people would just be there anyway without me calling them. You get it? So this was one of those evenings and it was at the Waldorf Astoria and it was Milton Berle's 89th birthday. Right. And Barbara Walters was in the audience. Regis Philbin. No. And other luminaries. It was like the TCM crowd, like what's her name? Esther Williams. Some other people like that.
Right.
Rhonda Fleming. I don't know.
Yes.
And they were all in the audience. And I got up and I did a set and I did this joke about how men will always find a wife, no matter how hideous they are, no matter how old, no matter how stupid. Take the case of Salman Rushdie. Now, he's not stupid and he wasn't hideous, but he was in hiding for several 10 years. And he got married 3 times while he was in hiding. It's like, who came to the door? The Avon lady? I mean, who did he marry? Et cetera. And this whole bit around that idea. I get off the stage. Everybody's laughing. I said to Steve, you know, how did I do? He says, everybody was laughing except Barbara Walters.
No way.
Right. So I said to him, who cares? I'm not going to work for Barbara Walters. The moral of the story is you never know.
But that's where she saw you and from that hired you.
She said to Regis Philbin, who was that woman? And Regis said, that's Joy Behar. Don't you know her? He knew me. I never heard of her. Well, she was busy, you know, entertaining Henry Kissinger. What does she know from me?
Right.
It's amazing how many people
See,
are Jewish.
That's why They're I
like
do
a,
it.
It's like a very small percentage in the world. And
0.02%.
Yet in this room, it's 90%.
Isn't it? It's amazing. That's why I do it.
I hope your audience appreciates
they
this.
They do. They All bring right. they bring bells to my show.
Do they?
Yes.
How irritating. So, oh my God. You're worried about them looking at their phones and you don't mind them ringing bells in the middle of your show?
Ring them bells.
Oh, God. So where was I? Oh, yeah. So then Bill Getty was looking for, you know, people to be on the show. Somebody called, recommended me. She said, oh, I like her. They tested me and I got the job.
It's amazing.
That's what happened. And here, 22 years later,
and let me tell
I'm still
you,
on the
many
show.
Many times I did stand up on The View when I was allowed to go
in
on.
Comedy Central Corner.
And, everyone was laughing, and she would stone face.
She doesn't laugh, but she...
And then would say to me, very funny.
Yeah, yeah.
And then would ask me about your kids and your... And I was like, oh, she was... Yeah.
Interested.
Yeah.
Well, she's like the people who... Like, one time I auditioned for Saturday Night Live in 1975.
What?
You never heard this story? Didn't you see my solo show?
Yes!
Okay. You want to hear something about that funny solo show I did? I did it down at the Cherry Lane Theater, yes. Right? People were howling and laughing, etc. On opening night, I invited a lot of people I knew. Famous people were some of them. That was the night I did. And fine, it's over. So like 6 months later, I do the same show at Guildhall in East Hampton. Many of the people who were there opening night were there that night. After the show, they had a big party for me at Alan Grubman's house. And there was a guy there who was a Supreme Court justice. I think it was Kennedy. He was there. Or one of those. Breyer. Justice Breyer was there, laughing, hysterical. And they said to me, this is a whole new show, isn't it? It was not a whole new show. It was the same show. And I've come to the conclusion that when people are laughing that much, they do not remember anything.
But they also miss a lot.
They miss everything. They thought it was another show.
That's great.
All those years I was saying, I can't repeat this material. What a fool I was. I could have done the same fucking act every night. They would have thought it was a different act.
But you can't do it on television now.
No, not on TV.
Yeah. So anyway, 75, you auditioned for SNL.
Oh, SNL, right.
I think I remember the story, yeah.
Well, I don't want to go into a whole long story.
Right, but just tell me.
My friend Jane and I would write comedy material together. And we came up with a character called Sadie Catalano, who would give news in the neighborhood. So she would say, like, only a hail of bullets marred the festivities as wedding bells rang. You know, and then, or a former bodyguard, Carmine Russo, has become a faith healer. There isn't a cripple left in the neighborhood since he's been pronouncing his miraculous words, walk or I'll break both your legs. Okay, so we had bits like that. So I said to her one day, now we're both like teacher housewives and we're in Forest Hills. And I say to her, why don't we call up Saturday Night Live and see if we can get this bit on that show? It was the first year. She says, okay, like we're two idiots, like Laverne and Shirley. I pick up the phone. I call NBC, you know, which you can easily get through the board there. And I say, can I speak to John Head? Because I saw that his name, the talent coordinator, his name was John Head, which is a double whammy.
Right.
I say, can I speak to John Head? They go, yes. They put me through to John Head.
Unbelievable.
He picks up the phone. I say, hello, Mr. Head. My name's Joy Behar. And I said, let me do the bit for you. He said, well, let me hear it. I say, okay, I do the bit. It's very funny. Would you come in? I'd like to talk to you. And I got so close to being on Saturday Night Live because of that phone call, but I never made it. Every week I'd be on the board, right? The first week,
right,
they said,
you.
Well, Madeline Kahn is hosting and she needs to be, we don't have any room for you. She wants to be the funny one anyway. Fine. They had Gilda Radner. They didn't need me. Second week, Raquel Welch is hosting and she has to be the pretty one and the funny one. I said, well, who's posting next week? Elizabeth Kubler-Ross is going to be the funny one and the pretty one? I never got on the fucking show because of all these other divas who preceded me.
Well, of course. People don't want to be upstage.
And then Gilda Radner wanted to buy the material, which I said no.
Oh, do you wish you had?
No, I used that material.
Oh, you did. Okay.
So I kept doing it. And after that, I just kept getting going along.
It's amazing.
But that was in 75. Remember, I didn't get fired from GMA till 1981.
Wow.
I was not even a comic until 1981.
It's amazing that it was always there, that you always knew it was there.
Well, from when I was a child, yeah.
You start The View in 97.
This is the longest interview
but
I've ever done.
But isn't it fun?
I feel like I'm going into a second menopause here.
Please, are you having a bad time?
No, it's exhausting.
Okay, sorry. We'll end soon. So you start The View in 1997. I remember watching it because I was working at Rosie and we were all watching it on the... Yeah. And it was like no other show before.
In what way?
In that, first of all, female heavy.
Yeah. Barbara.
Right.
That was the key.
And... It was successful women with opinions.
Well, we all were educated and successful in our careers, all of us already. Star Jones was a lawyer. She told you every day. Meredith Vieira had already been
love
on 60
her.
Minutes.
Right.
Barbara was Barbara. And Debbie Matenopoulos was, they called the young one, and she was coming up in her career. And there was me, who had been a teacher. So we all were, you know... We had, and I was highly opinionated, and so was Star, and so was Debbie. But Meredith was not, because she was trained to be more of a journalist.
So,
and Barbara never gave her opinion.
Did you know it was going to be the hit?
No, because Barbara had to go station to station to keep it on the air.
For how long?
Oh, I don't know.
Years?
Long time. Because they didn't pick it up right away all over the place. And we didn't know that because it was a network show. It was like, what do you mean they're not doing it every single place?
Oh, so it was, but it was syndicated. Yeah. So.
It wasn't syndicated.
Oh,
it was, no, it was network.
It was a network show. Wouldn't they have to put it on those?
That's what we thought, but that's not so.
Wow.
Yeah. So she went around and she kept it on the air for a while. Without her, I don't think it would have stayed on the air.
Star Jones and you, very friendly.
Star Jones and I were, the thing about Star, she had her issues, but she knew how to have a good time, that girl.
Really?
She did. She could have fun.
And
she's changed her life.
Yeah. She called you a bitch on the show.
She did?
Yeah.
Well, they all call me a bitch. I don't mind.
Because she called.
I don't care.
She called up once.
Oh,
she
yeah.
Was having,
I said, oh, yeah.
I said, all right, enough.
She called in because she had some kind of procedure.
Right.
And on and on and on the phone. And I said, all right, enough about you. Back to us. She says, okay, you bitch.
And if you look at it in the, you know, if you read about it, it's like, Star Jones called it.
Well, Meghan McCain called me a bitch recently, and I didn't care about that either because we have, the word is, we own that word.
Right.
We own the word, yeah.
We own the
and
word.
And I don't care. I don't mind.
you have gone through many co-hosts, and many. You're the one who has lasted the longest.
Well, I was fired a few years ago.
Right. And but they didn't say you were fired, of course.
Well, no. At the time, I thought, why burn a bridge? Why burn a bridge?
I always think yeah. that.
You know, I thought, I'll just go out gracefully because I was happy that that they let me go. I really I was happy.
Do you
happy.
Know why they let you go?
I don't know the real reason. I have suspicions, but I don't know the real
because
reason.
Because you had another show. You had an HLN
show. I had another show. Which was... My favorite. I know everybody
that
loved that show.
That was the best show ever. I was so happy.
I know.
Every time I got on. And you let me co-host. You let me host for you once.
To this day, I regret that I could not keep that show on the air. We were the second highest rated show on the network.
It was.
And they took us off. I think that was a political thing, maybe, because they didn't like how I talked about Republicans. But anyway, that's water under the bridge. This show, I don't know why I was fired. But I've been through many guest hosts here, yeah. But to just the point of why did I not say I was fired at the time? Well, you know, I had a nice send-off.
I think that was the greatest
thing. I had Alan
and
Alda,
you know
Regis
amazing?
Philbin, Joan Rivers came to my send-off. You know, so we had like a wonderful goodbye. Tony Bennett sang. Well, you know, why should I be bitter and angry? I wanted to get off the show at that time anyway.
So they, and I know, because I remember you're like, I want to write.
I had other things to do. And I had 2 years off where I came up with a solo show.
I know, great.
And I did other things that I liked.
When they asked you back,
yeah,
was there any bit of like, oh, fuck you, you...
No. The woman who asked me back, it was a whole new administration.
Yeah, the new woman, yes.
Hillary McLaughlin.
Yeah.
Hillary S.G. McLaughlin.
Yes.
She called me up. I was walking around Provincetown looking for a transgender show. Seriously. Or not transgender. What do you call it? A drag show.
Right.
Because I like those. They're fun.
Why didn't you come see me? Well, oh, I don't think I was in
you
town.
You weren't there.
Yeah.
I would have gone to see you, of course. But I was looking for a drag show because I think they're funny and fun. And I couldn't find it. All I saw were tourists in polyester pantsuits there. What happened What happened to Provincetown?
This is what happened. We wanted equality, and now everyone is coming. It's like you have Wellfleet, you have Hyannis, you have Sandwich, Truro.
Yeah.
Like, get the fuck. And now... So there's a pier there where they had a naval ship in World War II because there's one area that's so deep and they now have cruise ships come for the day.
Yeah.
It's
horrible.
Oh, my
God.
It's
that's horrible.
Terrible. Yeah.
That's what happened. That they changed.
Right.
And anyway, I was walking along the street and I get a call on my cell phone from Hillary asking me if I would like to come back to The View just on Friday because now the show is going to be live on Friday. Whoopi did not want to work on Friday. I would moderate. I said, okay, just for Friday. And then slowly...
Joy, you know. The show, you are the you're so much of, you're,
Well, I am like the person who's been there the most recognizable besides Whoopi, so they know me.
When they imitated you, which I think.
So what, who cares?
No, when they imitated you on SNL, I was felling because, you know, that, you've arrived.
You've arrived.
When they
make fun of you.
on SNL. It's like you are the zeitgeist.
I guess. I never took it like that, but yeah.
I thought it was. I remember you're like, no, she didn't do this right and she didn't do that. But I was like, oh my, I was so happy for you. This fucking idiot in the White House.
Yeah.
There, he wants them off the air.
Oh, please.
Hey, everyone. You know what I just did? I tore, I poured, and I enjoyed a packet of Liquid IV because I love Liquid IV. Liquid IV is a major part of my life. And I just worked out with my trainer and I had a delicious lemon ginger Liquid IV. That one has a little extra. That has a little green tea in it, and so that's a little caffeinated. So I enjoy that because I needed it today. And you know, it's getting warmer out, and what does that mean? Summer. Oh God, please come. It can't come soon enough. And that means you have to hydrate. And that's what Liquid IV does. It hydrates you with benefits like electrolytes, vitamins, and clinically tested nutrients. And it has 3 times the electrolytes of the leading sports drink, plus 8 vitamins and nutrients in one little stick. And that's why Liquid IV is the number one powered hydration brand in America. Okay? And I love it. I use it every day. Ben's basketball team uses it. It is a science-backed formula that works. It keeps you hydrated. And they have sugar-free. They have sugar-free packets in white peach, green grape, raspberry melon, and lemon lime. Okay? I didn't do the sugar-free. Okay. But Elisa does the sugar-free. So what are you going to do? You're going to stay hydrated because it's very, very important. And Liquid IV has been a longtime sponsor, and I love them. And they are a quality product. And this is what you're going to do. You're going to turn your ordinary water into extraordinary hydration with Liquid IV. Get 20% off your first order of Liquid IV when you go to liquidiv.com and use code JUDYGOLD at checkout. That's JUDYGOLD. That's 20% off your first order when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code JUDYGOLD, JUDYGOLD, can't even say my name, at liquidiv.com. Got it? You're welcome.
What was the most, in your opinion, dramatic joy event on The View? I mean, you've gotten up and left.
That was it. I would say walking off the stage of when Bill O'Reilly was here I physically protested his presence. You can't really beat that for drama.
And you got
well, Barbara, and then Whoopi followed me out.
Yeah.
And he was just saying that all Muslims are terrorists. And I couldn't argue. I tried to argue. No, he kept insisting. I couldn't sit there. I was like, I don't want to sit here with him. It's skeevy to me.
Right.
So I got up. And Whoopi followed me off. And Barbara didn't like that. She felt we should have sat there. But then the publicity came in, and then she liked it.
It's amazing how any kind of publicity...
Well, that was a big moment. They still, I mean, look at how great it is. He's not there anymore.
I know, isn't that
one
amazing?
Of the worst fascists in television? He's gone. Same, Roger Ailes dead. I mean, things do change.
Do you think these awful people? There's plenty of awful people in our that are running this country.
Right.
Are going to have their day?
No, I don't. I mean, I know too much about World War II and Hitler to not think that there's anything such as karma. There is no such thing. Did you ever see the movie Downfall with Bruno Ganz playing Hitler?
Mm-mm.
It's about Hitler's last weeks in the bunker. He's down there and, you know, he kills himself and it's painless for him. First, he gives the cyanide to the dog that he supposedly loves, makes sure that it works. And then he and Eva Braun take the cyanide and shoot each other. And that's the end of it. He never suffered a day. There's no karma.
What's the name of the movie?
Downfall.
I'm going to watch that.
It's in German. I'm warning you, but it's very well worth it.
That's my favorite language.
So I know a lot about bad people because I watch a lot of television about that period. And they do not necessarily suffer. They never found half these Nazis they die at 97 and then they find them. They've been living,
I know.
They've been living in South America, you know, enjoying paella down there. Get the fuck out of here. There's no such thing as karma.
I have to say, you have been, and Joan Rivers was like this, but you are one of the very pro LGBT.
I am.
And
I'm a feminist.
And you're the true, no, but you are the true, you are a feminist. I mean, I feel like they're taking the word and making it like a feminist is someone who, you know, can get on stage and talk about, you know, blowjobs and this.
Yeah, that's what they think a feminist
is. Right. And a feminist is so much, is not that at all, but.
What is it exactly, do you
think? If you believe in equality for everyone.
Yes,
everyone.
That's right.
That this is enough. That I don't have to put on makeup for you.
Right.
I am good enough as I am.
That's right.
That everyone's a human being.
I agree. I think
equal.
That's true.
So.
Makes you a humanist.
Yes. You have been so, I just have to say, for the community, there's so many gay guys that come up to me. I love Joy. You have been such a voice for equality. And I just want to say, I really appreciate
it. Well, thank you. I mean, I think that the gay community has had a rough time from when I was a kid. And, you know, there were gay men who were married to women in my neighborhood, and I saw that they suffered.
It's horrible.
You know, it's
and
terrible.
And lesbians.
Thing. And lesbians also.
I think that's affected my career. I came
That you're a lesbian?
Yeah.
I Not came anymore, out- though.
Now right, but I came out in 96.
It might have hurt you, but I think it's chic now more, isn't
right,
it?
Right, but it's chic for the young lesbians. Now I'm an old, don't you think?
Well, timing is everything in life, Judy, yes. Unfortunately.
It's very hard.
What are your regrets?
My regrets?
Yeah.
I regret ever listening to anyone tell me to straighten my hair, dye it blonde, not talk about being Jewish on stage. I regret
You got bad advice.
Yeah. I regret wasting time being anxious and hating myself and thinking and giving power to other people who said something about me.
Right.
You know, you're this. And for me to waste time
on that. I agree with that. Yeah. But good for you. Good
That's
for
what
you.
I really if I could have the time back from.
You know, as you get older, this is so sentimental now, yeah. But when you get older, you realize that this cliche that life is short, it
so
really
short.
Is. It's over before you can turn around.
I know.
So you have to really enjoy it the most you can.
I know, but I just want one big break, Joy. One.
Well, you know, the thing about you, Judy, is that you can get the one big break, but you have an interesting career because you still love it.
I know.
You could get that one big break and then start to hate it.
No, I just want the money. I just don't want to have to worry about money.
I understand that, but that's part of the journey.
Yeah. And it's been a long journey, Joy.
I know that. But I sort of envy you that you still love it.
Really?
Yeah, the stand-up, because I don't anymore. I might get back to it, though. There's a possibility.
Like, I'll do a show with you.
If I wasn't... Now, the only thing... You know what interested me? This little room at the...
I knew. I could see it. But there's a bunch of rooms like that.
I don't mind doing small little rooms and having fun with that.
Yeah.
Just getting up and... But I'm so, like, obsessed with Trump right now and my job.
Do
that
you feel like...
I can't do anything but that. It's not funny to me.
Right. So many people
He's not
say,
funny.
Oh, isn't he good for your material?
No.
No, I guarantee you every comedian who's not right wing would give up talking about him.
You know who was funny? George Bush. W. Bush.
Oh.
George W. Bush, there was material. No, but there was material about him.
Right.
This guy is so dangerous and so tricky for all of us, so lethal in what he's doing to this country, that I can't find it in myself to laugh half the time.
I'm scared.
Right.
But also, this is the only time where someone who is pro-Trump, if you say one thing, they'll either leave or they won't laugh at anything else you say. But it was never like that. Every president was fair game.
Yeah. What do you mean? Like in your act, if you say something against Trump,
they walk out. Like, and I'm like, you
and
know
they
what?
Walk out.
So I tell them, I said, you know what? Because I did something about Sarah Huckabee Fuckface and something about Trump. And this guy's like, say something. And they were laughing. And he's like, say something funny. I go, actually, I just did, which is why everyone's laughing. And if you don't like it, you can get up and leave. Enjoy your cult. And he stayed. But it's a cult.
Yeah.
Okay. Before we leave.
Yeah.
By the way, I just want to. I have two more questions. FYI, Joy is an author. She has written 5 books, The Great Gas Bag, An A to Z Study Guide to Surviving Trump,
which is
World,
still available
which
on
is
Amazon.
Still available. Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo 2 and Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo, which one is My Kind of Dog, the original one. Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo is My Kind of Dog. And Shih Tzu Cockapoo-poo 2, Max Goes to the Dogs. These are children's books.
Yes.
Joy Shtick. Or what is the existential vacuum and does it come with attachments? 1999. And when you need a lift but don't want to eat chocolate, pay a shrink or drink a bottle of gin. 2007. So these are all books you can get that are fucking great that Joy has
Some
written.
Some of them are better than others.
Okay, whatever. So I can't thank you enough.
You're welcome.
I love you.
Anytime, Judy.
You're the best. This is what we ask, but I think we know the answer. We always ask, we're very pro mental health because I've gone through clinical depression and...
Yeah.
So have you ever been on antidepressants?
No.
Really?
No, never.
Just shrinkage.
Shrink. Talking cure.
Oh, and by the way,
yeah.
I take Trazodone because of you.
Well, Trazodone I was taking when I was having hot flashes and I couldn't sleep. But I still can't sleep, but I don't take anything. I just don't sleep.
Let me tell you, the CBD oil with the melatonin.
Yeah, that works.
Out.
Where do you get it?
You can get it online. It's CBD oil, so it's like the...
Is that marijuana?
But not without THC.
Is it safe?
Yeah, it's all organic and all melatonin. Right.
Melatonin doesn't really
work. I'm addicted to fucking Trazodone because of you. And then this is, you know, it's called Kill Me Now because I'm always saying Kill Me Now because I fucking can't stand it.
Right.
What pisses you off more than anything? Like what thing about people or anything makes you fucking crazy? It could be...
I think stupidity.
Yeah.
I can't stand stupid.
I can't.
I hate stupid. I ran into a guy, King Cullen, twice now. The guy comes over to me. Why do you not like Trump? And I give him three reasons. And he says, well, Hillary lied. And I say, it's too stupid. I can't. I can't talk to you anymore now. And I walk away from him.
What are the three reasons?
Why I hate Trump?
Because I need...
He's destroying the environment. He divides races. And he's a pathological liar. And he's making money on the presidency.
Yes.
If I had to say four things, those are the four.
He is the most divisive.
And when you say he's a liar, they go, well, everybody, all presidents lie. Not like this. Not every day. Not every minute. And not about important things. Right. Come on.
Are you scared? About what's
you know,
happening.
I feel a little more hopeful lately because I was saying on the air today that the white blue collar women who are non-college educated, who are mostly my cousins, you know, they are now turning on him a
good.
Little. Yes, his favorability went down 15% among those women. That's very important because he's such a sexist. He grabs women by the pussy and people still like him.
And he's such a hypocrite.
Oh, I can't stand him.
I
know him very well. You know, I went to his wedding to Marla.
You did?
I was at his wedding. Yeah, Rosie O'Donnell was there.
Yes.
Can you imagine? The two women who hate him the most were at his wedding.
I feel bad for Rosie.
Why?
Because I just feel bad. She's watching a debate and you know, just sitting at home watching a presidential debate and he says, you know, Megyn Kelly says, you call women this and he says.
No, just,
I mean, for her kids to hear that.
From the next president.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
It's horrible. I love you.
But you know what? As FDR once famously said, I dated him. He said, I welcome the hate. I welcome the hate because he was getting a lot of shit for what he was the first socialist president. You realize that. And, you know, if you want to call it that, if you want to call Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, unemployment insurance, socialist programs, which we all have, then he was the one who did
it. So many of these Republicans' parents were on the GI Bill. You know, they would have nothing.
The Republican Party has been trying to undo FDR's and then the Great Society since LBJ. They have been trying to undo it. They don't like it. They don't want it. Mm-hmm. They want everybody out there on their own, and it's not healthy.
It's
some people
disgusting.
Can't do it.
Right.
Some people can't make it.
And unless it's them, it's like when Dick Cheney's daughter came out as lesbian, all of a sudden he's pro-gay marriage.
Nancy Reagan became pro-stem cell research after Ronnie get Alzheimer's. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's got to be personal with them. Yeah. Then they're happy.
Well, you make me happy, Joy.
And you make me happy. And you make Elise happy.
Elisa.
Oh, who? You know, it's
I know, it's annoying. I can't.
Elisa, Elise, Kirsten. How am I going to remember this?
I know. It's all right.
Lori, Laura.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, stick to the one thing.
Josephine, Joy.
No, and the Kirsten and Kristen. It's like, how am I supposed to know the difference?
Brianna? I can't. Is that Brittany and Anna? I can't.
Jason and Joshua is another group.
Oh.
And Jeremy.
And Jesse. It could be a girl or a boy.
I think that the Duggars had all J's, didn't they?
Yes, did. All of them J's for Jesus.
Well, after, was it for Jesus?
Yes,
That's right. That's what it was for. She should have named the last one Jesus Christ. How many more am I going to have?
You know some of those are gay. Some of those kids.
If Jesus ever came back, he would be shocked at what the evangelicals are doing in this country. And so-called Christians like Jerry Falwell Jr. He would, that man would have a heart attack.
I agree. Joy, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. All right, let's wrap this up.
We're wrapping it up now. And as we always say, so long.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long.